Blog Talk Radio.
Join us for part two of AI Prophecies Come to Fruition with my guest co-host and contributor today, R.D. Palmer. Stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so excited you're here with me today. We have been going on and on about artificial general intelligence for most of the year, and we wanted to let you know that a lot of the predictions that we predicted in this show are now coming to fruition. And R.D. Palmer is our expert on what's going on in the artificial intelligence world, particularly when it comes to artificial general intelligence. And so what we're doing is making you aware of these sweeping changes and transformations so you as a citizen of the world, personally, first and foremost, a citizen of the world, but those of us who are Christian, should be aware of what's going on in our world so we can make sure that we are taking control of the world that God gave us and not leaving it to something that we create. Because essentially, artificial intelligence is growing by leaps and bounds. But what this does is allows a certain set of the population to control others, whether it's via limiting information, whether it's taking over jobs, whether it's taking over our personal lives. You don't want artificial intelligence to be so intrusive that it takes away your own humanity. We see some of that happening now, but now we're showing you the AI prophecies that we talked about earlier this year now coming to fruition so you can be, first of all, knowledgeable, know what to pray for as far as Christians, know who to go to as far as who your lawmakers are, and what you can do to protest against an intrusive artificial intelligence entity. Now, you may think that we're drinking the Kool-Aid, but like I said last week, we're not drinking the Kool-Aid. These things are happening right now today, and it's imperative for you to be aware of these things. And so when we come back from break, we'll be talking once again to my guest co-host and contributor, R.D. Palmer, who we first met back in March, I believe, and when he first introduced us to this whole concept with his book, The One, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattyCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattyCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking today to my guest co-host and contributor, R.D. Palmer. He has been our reigning expert when it comes to artificial general intelligence just through his background and his work life. And now he's bringing the advents of artificial intelligence to us so we can know what's going on in the world, particularly as it pertains to science and technology when it comes to artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence. Last week, we talked about how quantum supremacy, something we predicted back in February, will be announced this year. And guess what? Google recently announced that they have quantum supremacy. Now, if you want to know what in the world you talk about, Parker, guess what? Just go back to our show from last week where RD really explains what quantum supremacy is, what it means for us. But we also talked about other predictions that artificial intelligence would have and see them coming to fruition. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host, RD. RD, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. It's a pleasure once again, Parker, to be on your show and to talk about this subject, which I think is fascinating, and it's affecting all of us, and the advancements are happening every day. So thank you again for having me.
You know, it's very interesting to see what we can do. I think when God created us, he created some pretty good people. I'll be honest with you. We can do some stuff that is out of this world. You know, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so often we fall for the lie that we're just scourge of the universe for some reason. And the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we believe that, something's wrong with us, right? You know, but look at what we can do. Look at what God has given us the ability to do. We can create an artificial intelligence that, if we're not careful, can be a tyranny of some sort. And so people may be thinking we're talking sci-fi, but with these predictions that we predicted last week, I'm sorry, not predicted, that we told you about last week and that we're going to continue to tell you about this week, we're not drinking Kool-Aid. We're letting you know what's going on in the world today. So let's go ahead and continue our discussion from last week, RD. So first of all, you know, the question I know some people are going to ask is this: are you a prophet? So we want to definitely clear the air on that, RD.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell us, if someone's saying, well, are you the artificial general intelligence prophet or something like that?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for clearing the air on that. No, I'm not a prophet at all. In my job, which I'd mentioned that I worked for both computer hardware companies as well as software companies, my job was to create the future. So I've always been future looking. As a matter of fact, one of the jobs that I had while back is that we created supply chains. So this is modeling supply chains. And so what we were doing is, for around the world, we were trying to predict what's going to be the fastest way to get in product and to build it. In this case, it was building computers, and to get that product out. So that's really been my entire career, and I think that I've used that background as far as being able to help to create the future and being on the software side of saying, okay, now I understand about where software is going, so I am definitely not a prophet. This is just only prediction, and I think so far now we've got about 24 predictions from the book now that are coming true. I would say if anything is prophetic, and I'll use the word if, but when I wrote the book, The One, I was not assured of who the entity, which happens to be artificial intelligence, The One is. And it just so happened that it was after your first show that I did, and it, again, it was back in February or March of this year, that I found out that actually the One was seen by this philosopher by the name of Plotinus. And Plotinus actually saw the when he saw the One, and it mirrored exactly what I have. But I would say that other than that, everything that I have written about, to the best of my knowledge, is just predictions based upon my experience.
I think that's important because, like I said earlier, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we have to kind of compare brains here. So let's compare the brains that God created versus the brain, for, in particular, artificial intelligence that humans create. Let's go ahead and compare that. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a good one, because of the fact it's not artificial intelligence that's creating us. It's God that created us. And, of course, we're creating artificial intelligence. So there are some similarities, if you will, but then there are some big differences, and big differences to where both from a human side that we are far superior, and then there's some niche areas, and I mentioned vertical areas, and I've talked about that in the past, where actually artificial intelligence is superior. But if we take a look at just a few areas like form and function, so we see obviously with the human brain we've got, you know, wet and it's squiggly and stuff such as that. On the artificial intelligence side, it's really software. That's all it is. So you, unless you deal with it in code, you really don't see it. And so that's a big difference. And other thing is that in the human brain, we have neurons, and you may have seen videos, and I mean, I personally haven't seen a neuron other than, you know, somebody that's representing them, brain neurons. But, you know, apparently they fire signals, and it goes from chemical to electrical and stuff such as that. And the interesting thing there is that that's how the process of thinking is, right? So we're able to look at that through MRIs, for example, when a person gets into an MRI machine. Well, the human brain has about 100 billion neurons. And now let's compare that to artificial intelligence. So today, we have only about 200 to 300 neurons. Now, these are called virtual neurons. They're mimicking, obviously, the intelligence that humans have. So it's 200 to 300 versus 100 billion. So humans are, you know, leaps and bounds way much further advanced, right? And again, that just shows what God can do for us. The power consumption is a big difference. It doesn't take very much power. It's only about 20 watts to run our brain, as compared to, as you can imagine, you know, the electrical current, the meter just spinning wildly when it's doing that. And but a big difference where the artificial intelligence is better. And actually, you can see this. If I said multiply 724 by 1,029, you know, the calculator can do that quickly. And with us humans, you can write it down on a piece of paper and figure it out, but it takes you slower amount of time. So what happens is that speed is actually quite a bit different between humans and artificial intelligence. Actually, artificial intelligence is about a million times faster. So I talked about instructions per second with the quantum computers. I'm not going to go back to that, but today's PCs can do about a billion instructions per second. So, and that's pretty good. That's just a personal computer. Whereas the mind, your human mind, can only do about 1,000 instructions per second. So there's a big difference between the speed, and that's where artificial intelligence is really accelerating. And that's because of the fact that electricity is compared to the way that God put us together, you know, with chemical and electrical combinations. Also, what happens is that when we're born, what happens is that we're creating models of the world. So, you know, you can imagine a baby, a toddler, if you will, that's starting to take building blocks and stuff like that. And so the way that we look at the world and the way that we piece it together, we go from the simple, and then as we grow older and obviously get education, we go to very complex. That's very different than the way that artificial intelligence is working, because instead of using models, it's actually using patterns. And that's why they are so good. Facial recognition, photographs, fake videos and stuff such as that, even faking voices, right? So they look at patterns is what they're doing, and they're actually going from the complex, at least complex from a human side, like, for example, multiplying large numbers or figuring out the 500th place to the right of the decimal point on pi, which is very difficult for humans but easy for computers, right? So they go from what we would consider complex to simple, and they have currently on the artificial intelligence side software, and as it applies to robotics, then what's happening is that it's difficult for robotics to do the maneuvering, which we consider, I'll call it second nature, again, going back to that toddler where the toddler just crawls across the floor and picks up blocks. So there's similarities, but there's also differences. And I'll just stop here with one other thing, that what's happening is that, and I mentioned this a little bit before, we have literally thousands of researchers around the world that are making this artificial intelligence where it's expanding not only vertically within a specific domain, but going across horizontally. And this is where we're going with this. So combined with the speed and combined with the data, and it does require, maybe didn't mention that previously, but a difference between humans and artificial intelligence is it does require a massive amount of data. So that's a big difference, but then there's some similarities too.
What's fascinating about this is that I still believe that we're the better created creation, if you will.
Sure.
And the reason why is because artificial intelligence is limited to its creator, just like we're limited, and if I can use the word correctly, limited by our creator. Because I was doing some thinking about this really hard, and one of the things that came to mind for me, RD, was that humans tend to work things out when you're pressed up against time. And your brain, if you're crunched or being made to or forced to do something, you think of creative ways to either survive, to overcome a challenge, something like that. And I don't know if artificial intelligence can do that to the same robust ways that humanity can. You know,
no.
We hear about people figuring things out. Like one, and this is a sad thing, but it's just an example. One of the things I found out was there have been a group of children who are grown into adults, and something triggered them. And they found out that a multiple personality had been created because they had been horribly traumatized as children. And so all these children were in some kind of cult or something like that. And all these children had created multiple personalities, and then they forgot about them. Like they grew up into, you know, adulthood and everything, and something happened that triggered them. I do not know what it was, and also this personality came out. And I don't know if artificial intelligence will even have that sort of experience, because in order for the brain to protect itself from the trauma that happened, then the brain did something. What did it do? It forgot about it. It locked it aside. It created a false personality so that child wouldn't have to continue to live through that horrible trauma. I don't know if artificial intelligence can do something like that, because they don't have the emotion. They don't have those type of biological functions that we do. I'm not saying that's it's kind of like you can't really connect the two. Like artificial intelligence can never have the same experiences as human beings, which I think makes us much more complex than even the most complex computer. You know what I mean? So those are my thoughts,
right,
Andy. What do you think before we get back to our predictions? What do you think about that?
Well, you do bring up a good point, and so actually several good points, and one of them being emotions. So humans have emotions, and definitely artificial intelligence does not. When I was writing the book in 2018, the one of the articles I came across is that Harvard scientists at Harvard University actually did create a psycho AI. So so it's different than, you know, I'll call it multiple personalities in an individual that could do harm to themselves and to others.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's very sad. But we've had scientists that have attempted to do the same thing with artificial intelligence.
Okay, that would be scary though, because can you imagine having that locked up somewhere, holding up very
vital
information?
Yeah, they shut it down.
Yeah,
they
like,
shut
really
it down.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
but they did do that, and it was in 2018, and it was from Harvard University.
Okay, so they did shut that down. But the thing is that, you know, as we talk about these things, we have to ask these questions about what does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made, as opposed to be what is fearfully and wonderfully programmed. You know, something we have to think about to our neurons and all these other types of different things. You know, it fascinates me. Like, this stuff fascinates me to no end, particularly since you and I started collaborating, and I find myself picking up on articles that I probably would not have read before. So fascinating me. So let's kind of continue our predictions that we talked about earlier, So let's go ahead and continue. So, you know, artificial intelligence is fooling people, okay?
Right.
So how does artificial intelligence fool people today?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's on mobile levels. So previously we've talked about video, and even talked about that with fake videos, it used to be to where you would have to edit the video, and there's tools out there, as I said, that it's actually for free that a person could do that. So the barrier to entry is very low, or zero. You just have to have a computer. But now on the video side, the fake videos can be done in real time. But in addition to videos, you also have voice. So with just a little snippet of a person's voice, what they can do with artificial intelligence is they can make up, you know, singing the national anthem or whatever, and it can sound like your voice. And the third area is with text. And the reason why I say with text is because of the fact that, you know, people are on blogs and social media and stuff such as that. And I mentioned this a little bit before. You don't know if you're conversing with a dog, but the reality of it is there's a large percentage of what's on those message boards that are from bots. And it was just, it was pretty recent. It was September the 27th, just last month. So Elon Musk, and we all know him, you know, with SpaceX and stuff such as that. Anyway, that he warned that we should start to be vigilant because there's AI bot swarms that are starting to manipulate social media. So it's all over the place, and I don't think that people are aware of it. And the sad thing about it is that these social media platforms, which there are a number of them, whether you Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case may be, they can't catch all these swarms that are occurring. And what happens is that, unfortunately, because of the fact that what people are doing with artificial intelligence, they go to the emotion, right? They're not talking. They usually don't create fake text based upon a scholarly article, like, you know, what's happened with artificial intelligence. So that would be a scholarly. It's trying to get your emotions, whether it be on the sexual side or the maybe it's the legal side or the political side. That's what happens. And the sad thing about it is that a lot of people, and I'll even say some Christians, and this is where, you know, I'm encouraging people just to be cautious, is that they jump onto the bandwagon without realizing who in the world did this come from, and does it make sense? Has it been tested? You know, and it just turns into a circle because of the fact that these things that are, again, they're called bot swarms, because of the fact that the text now goes out to, I don't know, I'll say it hits them, it's got a million hits. Now it's become popular. Popularity doesn't mean that it's truthful, but that's the world that we live in today.
We definitely know that just because something popular doesn't mean that it's right. You know, we could go very, very, make this very clear when it came to certain things that happen in the U.S. of A. It may have been popular, doesn't mean that it's right. And that's important as we talk about this because one of the sad tragedies of our current time is that people don't research the facts, or people are more concerned about subjective parts of society than objective. You know, I don't want you to make me feel bad about whatever I'm doing. I don't want you to make me feel bad. I don't want to talk about it. That's what you want to believe, fine. And so we're not using our critical thinking skills that God gave us. And one thing you mentioned earlier is that AI looks at patterns. And we tend to look at models, you know. And this is important if we're going to be aware of that. Because there are some people we've met people, I'm sure you have too, they actually see things in patterns. And because they see things in patterns, they see trends that we don't see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not to say that they're better than us. It's just a different way of looking at the world. Whereas we have this added advantage of growing into the complexity that God gave us because we start soft, you know, small. Not that we're not complex as an embryo, which is highly complex. Let me clear that up. But just how we understand things grows as we get older. And so I think that's important too. The next thing we're talking about is having AI listen to you while you are in the bedroom. That's one I definitely want you to expand on.
Well, so in my book, it was actually on page 32, I wrote about this. So I wrote about it before it happened or before I knew that it was going to happen. So I called them in my book, I called them listeners, and I was pretty careful. You know, I wasn't going to mention a product name, which there are product names out there today. People can know what they are. But I specifically put in my book that, again, this was released November of last year, that people would put these listeners even in their bedrooms. And now we fast forward to August of this year, 2019. So what we have is it was published, and so I'm not making this up. So Amazon Alexa captured audio of people even having sex. And so the thing about it is that it wasn't just Amazon Alexa, the artificial intelligence being the Alexa, but there was also people behind Amazon Alexa that were listening to people in their bedrooms having sex. Now, Amazon came out and they said the reason why they had these contractors listening to these, you know, smooches and stuff such as that was going on is because they wanted to make Alexa better. But to realize that the fact of it is this happened, Amazon said that they would shut that part of it down, shut the part where the people were listening, not where AI would stop listening because AI could continue to listen. But so that actually did happen. So it was predicted and it happened.
You know, that creeps me out more because you think when you're in the bedroom, you would like to keep that to yourself. This is a really private moment here. I would like to keep that to myself. And the fact that someone can listen to you while you're in your home, minding your own business, doing whatever, you know, it's between you and whoever, doing whatever, that someone can be evading your privacy. And so as Christians, you may be thinking, well, I don't want anyone listening to me, but this is what happens when you let artificial intelligence become too dominant in your life. See, what starts that the people can, like we said, someone can be listening to you having a conversation. Let's not even talk about intimacy. Just having a regular conversation about who knows what, you know. And someone can be listening to your conversation without your permission, without you knowing about it. They can take that information and do whatever with it. Do you think you have the right to privacy? Do you think you have the right to say what you want in your own home? Can someone take what you say in your own home, play that on some kind of social media platform, and next thing you know, you're crucified by the arms of public scrutiny? You know, and so that's why these types of things are very important for you to understand and to be well aware of. So the next thing I want to do before we go to our next break is talk about the human connection between AI and our brains, because this, and I've actually heard and seen some of this right here, this stuff to me kind of borderlines on the trippy for me.
Yeah.
So tell us about that connection between AI and human brain and the human brain.
Yeah, so again, this is one of my predictions, page 83, but specifically, in this case, one of the characters, Naoma was her name, she had a hearing aid. And so what that hearing aid allowed her to do, it allowed her to access, let's say, virtually unlimited. So it's the same amount of knowledge that an AI would have. So that's what the prediction was. And so we fast forward to July 17th of this year. So there's a company. So we mentioned Elon Musk before. And this actually is somewhat of a sensitive area for me because of the fact that sensitive in the fact that I'm a little bit emotional about it. Mm-hmm. So I consider this in my thinking, the dark side of science. Whereas my science was, you know, dealing with software and computer hardware and stuff such as that and really enjoyed it. There's a dark side of science in my terminology anyway, and what they do is they experiment with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know for how long, but anyway, so they specifically what they did is they took monkeys and they went to the government and they said, you know, there's people, and I'm listening to both sides, so I try to understand both sides, but there's people that, you know, they're paralyzed or they've got some medical issues. And then so what happens is they said that we can help people to where they can now function. And the way that we'll do that is we need to experiment with healthy monkeys. And so literally what they did, and the name of the company is called Neuralink. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they actually drilled holes, small holes. It was actually thinner than a size, the diameter of a hair, and then they put fiber optics into the monkeys, and then they put a switch behind the ear, and so then from that, what they did is they would link the monkeys right up with the AI, so that already happened and that was announced on July the 17th of this year. Again, I said I'm a little bit emotional about it because of the fact that these monkeys didn't have any say in their experimentation. But a big push, there was actually two pushes, and I listened to the speech that Elon Musk had. So obviously there's computer scientists that worked on this, but there was medical doctors and stuff such as that, obviously, that worked on this too. So one side of the push was, you know, to help people that are paralyzed and stuff such as that. But another side is that Elon Musk, with his fear, and I share some, maybe not all, but I share some of his fear, that AI is going to leave us behind. So once we have artificial general intelligence, you know, humans will be as ants. And so what he feels is that with this invention, which was announced in July of this year, that at least we'll be able to keep up with AI. So they may AI may continue to accelerate, but now by having us connect with AI, then what that means is that we'll be able to keep up with it. So, but anyway, that was predicted in the book last year, and it did happen this year.
Another thing that I find fascinating is something I heard on a TED Talk about a couple of years ago. This gentleman, I forgot who the guy's name was. It may be the guy you're talking about, too, for all I know. Not Elon Musk, though. Another guy. He had said, there are no disabled people. He said, our technology is disabled. And he talked about how during the Boston Marathon bombing, this one young lady had, she would have been a dancer, and she lost her leg during that bombing. And so what he did, they did this huge thing where they mapped a dancer and got her, and they gave her an artificial leg. And within what the bomber did in 1 minute, they gave her back her ability to move and have her leg back again. And she danced. She didn't. She wasn't doing what she did before, but she danced. And I was like really emotional, like, wow, that's just so amazing. So I understand, again, we're not anti-technology. You have to understand that. Imagine someone losing their leg. They don't have to live like that. They can have technology that assists them with keeping up a certain quality of life. Could she do what she used to do? Probably not. But she was not able to have her dignity that, you know, to people took away from her for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? And so understand we're not anti-technology, but you have to be aware that you have to temper our brilliance with this. You know, one of the things I would caution about being connected directly to artificial intelligence is that we don't understand the human body. So we don't understand the complexity of the human body. We constantly keep digging, and the more you dig, the less you know. And that's what's starting to happen. I remember, I don't know if you read that book or heard about Stephen Meyer, RD. He wrote a book called Signature in the Cell. And then he also wrote a book called, I think it was Darwin's Doubt, something like that. But one of the things he said, he was like, he said, if you look at, he had someone who was like a engineer or something kind of look over the what's going on in the cell and stuff like that. And he said his friend threw it at him, was like, this is like someone programmed it. Exactly. What he said, like, this is definitely called signature in the cell. That's why he said signature in the cell. There's like a signature there of programming. Just like we program our computers, that we are designed, you know. And so that element is still there. But here we are dealing with a design that we don't completely understand. See, that's where I think we have this huge gap between the human body, because the more we find out, the less we know. You know, like one person says, like an information debt. And these are the kind of considerations we need to have, because we're moving technology based off what we currently know, and we don't know everything. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we're talking more about the predictions that RD mentioned in his book, or he mentioned on the show, so you can be aware of what's going on with artificial intelligence, so you can be properly informed. You can call in, too, at 929-477-1965. Again, 929-477-1965. We'll be right back after this message.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about the artificial intelligence prophecies that have come to fruition. We have been doing this series on artificial general intelligence for the past year, and we wanted to let you know that just because we're talking about something that may seem sci-fi, it's actually sci-fact. And this information is going to be useful to you as you think about the world around you and how artificial intelligence affects you. We already worry about privacy. We already worry about, can we believe what we see? Now we have other things happening that affect our world that we as believers and non-believers, for that matter, need to be aware of. One of the things that I think is fascinating about artificial intelligence is that it is growing by leaps and bounds. And because of that, we have to be aware of what is happening so we can make the right decisions in regards to utilizing artificial intelligence. There are people out there who want artificial intelligence, particularly when it comes to AGI. They want it because they want to manipulate the population. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay informed? Or are you going to remain in blissful ignorance, as some people say? And RD, once again, thank you for being our resident expert on this. Well, not even expert, but just being the herald to let us know about these things so we can know how best to go about this very interesting and complex topic about artificial intelligence. So with that, let's continue our predictions, because I think this is a very vital one, talks about the military. So talk to us about how artificial intelligence affects the military and what has happened.
Yeah, so this was actually an easy prediction, right? Because anybody that's been to a science fiction show, Star Wars and stuff such as that, you've seen it. So I think that anybody could have predicted this. Again, it's in my book specifically that artificial intelligence is flying jets and stuff such as that and shooting missiles. But so what's happening is that on the military side, that they're having to make decisions quicker, right? And so they're in the process of creating what's called the combat cloud. So you probably heard of cloud computing, which is what a lot of people are using today. And actually, Amazon is a huge player in this, where they're working with the Defense Department on this. So the combat cloud is literally to start taking sensors to where they're able to make decisions that used to be made by, let's say, a general off over into a command area, and they really want the decisions to be made on the battlefield. So the decisions need to be made that much quicker as far as who to kill and not to kill. It's interesting to me here in the United States that you take a look at China and Russia. Both of them have artificial intelligence, and in some areas maybe they're surpassing, but in most areas, at least from what I've been able to read, the United States is still ahead. But they have absolutely no qualms of having their AI to kill without any human intervention. And there's a lot of discussion here in the United States that they're saying that, hey, we still want to have humans involved in the loop. So a couple things that has happened, we go back, I think it was about a month ago, so it's fairly recent, drone wars. So again, artificial intelligence, semi-autonomous. So drones were sent to Saudi Arabia, and they hit a petroleum refinery plant there in Saudi Arabia. So we're starting to have drone wars, and I think that we're going to see more of that, specifically toward drones and artificial intelligence driven on both sides are going to be fighting. So today, and maybe people aren't aware of this, but artificial intelligence today, they've already showed this, they can, on a regular plane, the artificial intelligence can take off from the landing field, can fly the plane, and can bring it down. And in addition, not only that, but I think it's UPS. So they've already started to where only one pilot is required. So it used to be where there was two pilots, and we'll eventually get to the point probably that there's no pilots involved. So it's just artificial intelligence that's flying the planes. But I bring that up because of the fact that we see more and more embedded with artificial intelligence, and there's people, as I mentioned previously, that – and I'll pick on some companies because I think I have to. Google. So Google, there was, I think it was about 1,000 employees that said, hey, they didn't want what they're building out for artificial intelligence to be used by the military. However, there was another person, and a very, very easy name to remember. His name is Palmer. Palmer Luckey in this case. His last name is different, but his first name is Palmer. Anyway, so he started a company called Anduril. And specifically then, instead of the Department of Defense working with Google, they said, hey, we'll work with Palmer Luckey. And so these artificial intelligence machines are actually being built out. So the, again, the name of the company is called Anduril, and so he actually has drones, artificial intelligence drones that are attacking other drones, and he also has drones that are protecting. But we're going to see more and more of this. It was an easy prediction, and here we are today. So it's going to only accelerate.
Let's go into the one where I think I have huge issues with. I have huge issues with someone forcing you to do something. And I think this is important. We're not talking about something bad. We're not talking about, like, murder or whatever. You know, we're going to get to that in a minute. But when I believe in free will, and I know some people don't. I know some Christians are like, no, it's not free will. It's all predetermined. All right, whatever. Okay, let's just go with it for 2 seconds, okay? I believe in free will. I believe if you want to kill somebody, how do I got to say this the right way, though, RG. You know, God gives us free will. He gives a chance to love him or not love him. We can accept his gift of salvation, or we don't have to. I truly believe that is something we decide. If we sin because we want to. Yes, there are other factors involved, but at the most basic, simplistic part, we choose to do what we're going to do. We make certain choices, okay? So we have a situation where is AI going to make us to be law-abiding citizens? Let's go into that for a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I predicted this. It was on page 33 that AI would and not only make people into law-abiding citizens, but in my book, which obviously this part hasn't happened yet, so it didn't make, but released even the people from jail because of the fact that AI could control them. But so specifically what's happening, and I'll first of all touch upon China, then touch upon the United States. So China has close to 1 billion people, or whatever it is, it's 1 billion and something people, right? And so, and they're, you know, they're somewhat capitalistic, but they're still a totalitarian country, and they need to keep all their people in control. And so what they've rolled out is they've rolled out what's called social credit scores. So you can, again, use your favorite search engine, and you can find, just put in China social credit scores. And what this does is if you don't behave, and the way, what I mean by behave, if you jaywalk across the street, or if you assault somebody, or if you are late in your payments or whatever, then your social credit score goes down. Well, how does that affect you? Well, that affects you as far as getting rides on the subway or getting money. Maybe it's payments from the government on something. So it actually is it's a big negative. So they're controlling the society that way. And you may say, well, you know, that's China, and of course they're accelerating that. And by the way, I did post this on my Twitter account, and it was, I don't know, a few days ago. But anybody in China now that wants a new phone, if they're going to get a new phone or a new phone number, they have to have, in addition to the social credit score, they have to have facial recognition. So that's going to be captured. And so you can imagine cameras and the stuff such as that associated with it. And so I'll call it a police state is what it is. And you say, well, that's China. You know, they're doing that, and we're not going to see that here in the United States. Well, maybe not so much, or at least initially, by the government, but what about U.S. companies? So the U.S. companies use social credit scores. Certainly when you – let's say that you're applying for a job. One of the things that's looked at is that they're out taking a look at all your footprint, specifically your footprint maybe on Facebook or others. You know, what kind of a person is this? Let's take a look at a little bit about their background. And then from that, they're providing rewards, an example, you know, based upon what you're – so they're encouraging you, for example, to shop or not to shop on different areas, right? And then the other thing that on the U.S. side, of course, what we have is that – and I hope that most people are aware of this because we've talked about it several times. But whenever you go out to the Internet, or for the most part – I mean, there's ways to take care of this. But anyway, for most people, when you go out to the Internet and you're surfing and you're looking for products or whatever the case may be, or you're on Facebook and you're commenting about stuff, you may think – that all of that is in isolation. You may think that you're private. I can guarantee you that all that information is being scooped up. And it's being scooped up by one or multiple companies. And all you have to think about is that, you know, Google, of course, its market capitalization, the profit that it makes, and Facebook, for example, its market capitalization and profit. So what products are they selling? The products that these companies sell is you. Think about that for a moment. So what they sell is whatever you're doing out there on the internet. They're capturing that. And if you will, what they do is they create a profile of you. They create a profile of you of not only your likes on products, but maybe your political affiliation, your religious thinking and stuff such as that. And they create a digital you. And then what they do is they sell that digital you. For example, Cambridge Analytica, if you may remember that a few years ago, where Facebook was making millions of dollars off of selling you, that digital you. And there's some people that are out there saying, well, you know, I don't care. They can take that information. Well, you know, we've got Parker J. Cole and R.D. Palmer. Hey, I won't sell your information. Just give me your information. You know, you're willing to give your information out off over to these unknown entities so that they can make money, but you're not willing to give it to me or to Parker, and we're not going to sell it, you know? So it doesn't make sense what you're saying. So what we see with AI is AI, because of the speed, right? We talked about that a little bit earlier. It is picking out what you like, what you don't like, where you're going, and it's capturing. So one of the things, and I think I mentioned about this earlier, that you can literally turn off your phone, your cell phone, and you can go to multiple locations. But even though that your cell phone is off, once it's turned back on, all those locations that you went to will be uploaded, and so it tracks exactly where you are, and that is not conspiracy, I guarantee you. So that is absolute fact that is occurring. So what's happening is they're tracking what you're saying, what you're doing, where you are. So it's happening in China. It is absolutely happening here in the United States. It may not be the government of the United States, but it's certainly companies, private companies in the United States.
I can actually attest to that, too, because my husband and I, we were going through the mail one day and, just going through whatever. And we saw a packet of Meijer coupons. And in the packet said, saving big on what you want, something like that, or some kind of verbiage of that nature. And I looked at it and I said, baby, I said, do you see this? And he said, what? I said, do you see every coupon on here is stuff that we have bought? You know, like everything. And I mean, we're talking like I buy marshmallows, obviously. Okay. So I buy marshmallows and tissue and whatever. And it was the brands we use, the brands we always buy, because you know how you like your particular brand and everything. We had never talked to a Myers associate. We had never said, hey, we want to get coupons in this. They have our information just based on what we buy. And they took that information and turned it into a packet and then gave it to us saying, hey, save money on this. That's the scary part. That's what makes it horrible. I mean, I was literally horrified when I saw that. I was horrified, like, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't even keep my grocery list to myself. You see what I'm saying? Like my grocery list.
And you're not the only person. So, for example, and just I'll be brief about this.
Sure.
There was a test, and again, you can do your own search and say, hey, RD doesn't know what he's talking about. But they did a test, and what they did is they put a cell phone down on the desk, and these people started talking about cat food, and they don't own a cat, but they just started talking about cat food. And sure enough, a day passed or something such as that, and on their internet feeds and mailbox, they were getting coupons for cat food.
You sit there wondering, this is what they're doing with your information. They're taking your information, private conversation. I even had that, like, one time I was talking to a friend of mine via the video chat somewhere. We were talking, and next thing you know, we were talking about NCIS. I don't watch NCIS. I watched like a couple episodes, you know, but you know, it's a fine show if you want to watch that, whatever. Next thing I know, I saw a little ad about NCIS on my computer. So we're not making it up when I say that. That's why it's so important for you to be aware of what's going on. That's why we're doing this multi-series, so you'll know and be informed. Now, another thing I want to talk about here And I think this one's a pretty good one. And I kind of like it for the sci-fi part too, because the first thing I think about is Minority Report.
Yeah.
So I think about that movie,
yeah.
Minority Report. But can AI predict crime before it happens? Now, in Minority Report, again, this was a human thing because the humans were connected to the computers and the girls she can see and predict all this other kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was in the movie. Minority Report in the book was much, much different. The short story was much different, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so
yeah.
Let's talk about this. If AI can predict crime before it happens, then who is guilty? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, so in most of the major United States cities today, they have police departments have AI, and they're using it to predict where criminals are. There's several different companies that are out there that sell the product. A major one happens to be Microsoft. And again, when I mention these companies, I'm not trying to defame or slant them or anything. I'm just telling you what the reality is, right? So what these police departments do is that they take – I mentioned this previous – that what AI does is it has a massive amount of data.
Yeah.
So what it does is it takes a look at historical information, takes a look at geographical information. And there's cameras that are throughout, especially in major cities, throughout the entire place. So what they do is they allow AI to run, and then from this what happens is that – literally, before an event happens, police officers are sent off over to a particular crime or potential crime scene, and they're out there ready to grab a person. The problem of it is so there's I guess good things and bad things. So if you talk to the software companies that are selling it, it reduces crime, and they show the statistics about that. But the problem, and ACLU has gotten involved in this. Because of the fact that again, when you're talking about software, you have to have a specialist taking a look at what's happening. And from what I've read from the ACLU, there's biases that have been input into the software. So I'll come back over onto the racial side. So, there's been more blacks that have been picked up in a certain area just because of the fact that the biases were there. So
yeah.
The reality of it is that these police departments, major cities all around the United States, they're continuing to use it. They're asking the companies, Microsoft and others, to, make amends. But we're going to see this more and more to where it's predicting what's happening.
And it was already kind of bad before for some people. it's going to be worse now because now, for me and my husband, being an interracial couple, I went to go help a friend of mine's out one day, and the police actually pulled him over. And I was like, why are you pulling me over? He said, because you're a white guy in a black neighborhood. And he said, he thought you were doing drugs or something. I said, seriously? We're here helping my girlfriend move. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You have that happen. And then another time we got pulled over, and my husband was taking me, I pick my grandmother every other weekend or so. And I picked her up, and we got pulled over. And the first thing he said was like, why are you with her? He was like, he said, who is this to her? My husband said, this is my grandmother. And then my grandmother said, this is my grandson. And they were going to make issue out of it until they saw me in the back, because my grandma sits in front, because she's in the back, And I said, I'm his wife,
Wow.
And it's just what happens, it just happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens more so with African-Americans and other minorities.
Correct.
A lot more. There's so many horror stories just without the AI, without the AI, it was pretty bad. Now we're going to, target. And then you got to think about why was someone to target a certain group of people? See, that's what I'm saying. It's more to it than just, just what's on the surface. You got to see what's going on behind the scenes. There are people who want to control, people who have agendas. And mind you, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means. It's just a simple fact. It's just a fact.
And if I can just add to that,
sure.
Like what happened to you, Parker, this is the police department, police people, policemen, women, they're doing things before something happens. So it's kind of like they're agitating, but they're giving this push because of the fact that AI says, hey, this is going to happen at this time, and we've got the facial recognition of the faces of these people. So people are innocent because they haven't done anything, and they may be, thinking of a song, and they're just walking down the street, and the police are pouncing on them.
Yeah, Because, again, you got, and then this is why it's so important for us to be aware of what's going on. You know, we are coming to the end of our show today, RD. I know there's lots more we need to talk about because we got to talk about how AI will monitor people's health. We talk about how AI is going to do and see things and how it can be humans in certain ways. And so there's a lot about this that we need to continue to go forward on. But something that I want to repeat from last week that I think is important that we repeat again this week is that no matter what, we need to be conscientious of that this is something we can't control. It's not uncontrollable. We can control this if we make the proper decisions and the proper measurements for it. You know, it's important for us to be aware. And so, AI, what are some of your closing thoughts as we get ready to end this part of our prophecy? I guess you could call it that.
Yeah, predictions. So, again, thank you so much for having me. I just, you know, there's some people that are fascinated by baseball stats and stuff such as that. Because of my career and my interests, I'm just fascinated with technology. And because of my career, you know, off over on the software side. So all I've been trying to do for since I wrote the book, and certainly thank you for having me on your program, is not to frighten anybody, but it's just to say, hey, this, you know, I've got experience. I mean, I don't want to mislead anybody. I am not, you know, a Harvard graduate person that has worked within artificial general intelligence or AI for all my life. I haven't. But what I have done is I've worked the majority of my life in the software side. I've worked a little bit on the hardware side. So I understand how things are built, and I understand how where we're going. And that's why it was so easy for me to do predictions. And so what I can say from a Christian standpoint is that if you take a look across the spectrum, there's a number of people, I'll call them highly intellectual, that are talking about this and are talking about the threat. But I don't see Christians talking about it. And I believe because of the fact it may be because of ignorance, it may be because of complacence, it may be because of the fact that, hey, you know, I'll just let God handle it. And I believe that God has given us intellect, and then from that intellect that we should be aware, and from that awareness, we can help to change things to where it would be the best course. So, again, thank you, Parker.
You know, next time when we have our discussion, more likely next week, if RD has time, or a week after that even, we're going to talk about, you know, we're not alone in this show. It's not like you want to think, oh, it's just RD and Parker. No, there are others who are aware of this who are making strides to make sure that AI does not become as intrusive as it is. One of the things about Star Trek, I'm sorry, RD. Okay, one thing about Star Trek is this. In Star Trek, people are still in control. The AI is there, but people are still in control. And if you're going to have Star Trek, you can't let the AI take over you. There is one episode in, the first season with the Bynars, where this society had completely integrated with this AI, and there caused problems because they can process information faster. But I think an EM field came or some kind of EM spark came, knocked out everything. Now they can't think, and they had to hurry up, get the computer back up because they can't think anymore, you know, something like that. So I know I'm going – I just went there. Okay, so what I'm saying, though, is this, that we need to be aware. And I was highly skeptical of a lot of things that RD said, but because I'm also fascinated, I started to look it up for myself. So, again, don't take our word for it. You can look up, like RD says, your favorite search engine, look it up, and discover this information for yourself. And then you have to figure out what are you going to do with that information. Are you going to just be complacent about it? Or are you going to say, hey, maybe I should write to my congressperson, my law person, my city government, whoever, my teacher, my kid's teacher, say, hey, you know, we need to be aware of this because we still want to make humans the important factor. So, RD, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. And can't wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much, Parker.
And if you want to continue to listen to this very interesting series, simply go to pjcmedia.net. You can scroll through our broadcast, and you can see we have 8 parts to this show. And I'm telling you right now, it's a long-running show because each show, we always just touch the surface of it. But we hope we touch enough of the surface so you can continue to learn more about artificial intelligence, the Christian perspective, what that perspective looks like, and what you can do to make sure that artificial intelligence isn't so intrusive that it takes away your own humanity. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.